Hey, we are going to be in Ephesians chapter 2 this morning, and I want to say to the ladies of the house, y'all did a wonderful job with your cookies. I had several of them last night. The winning cookie, Diana, wonderful, wonderful cookie. Very good. Can we give a huge shout out to Diana and Miss Marcy, who also, there was a tie, and I believe it was won and lost by rock, paper, scissors. Is that right, Lacey? So do better at rock, paper, scissors, but good job on the cookie. I'm just kidding. I'm so sorry. Wonderful cookies, though, ladies. I enjoyed, I had a lot last night, and no more cookies today. Ephesians chapter 2, we're going to be this morning. We're talking about the advent of peace. Turn with me, Ephesians chapter 2, or look on the screen behind me. We're going to be in verses 11 through 18. We read this. So then remember that at one time you were Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcised by those called the circumcised, which is done in the flesh by human hands. At that time you were without Christ, excluded from the citizenship of Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ, for he is our peace, who made both groups one and tore down the dividing wall of hostility. In his flesh he made of no effect the law, consisting of commands and expressed in regulations, so that he might create in himself one new man from the two, resulting in peace. He did this so that he might reconcile both to God in one body through the cross, by which he put the hostility to death. He came and proclaimed the good news of peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. Let's pray. God, we're grateful for the word today, grateful for what you're going to do, grateful for what you've already done. We're asking that you would speak to us this morning. I think if I ask by a show of hands of who wants more peace in their life, every hand would go up. We're all striving after it. We're searching for it. The world is searching for it. And we know that true peace is only found through Jesus Christ. So I pray that we would land on that when it's all said and done, and we would walk out of here, Lord, more at peace internally, more at peace with one another, most importantly, Lord, at peace with you. And I pray that we would again find that through Jesus. We love you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. I've shared before that my daughter Piper, she's 8 years old now, blows my mind that I have an eight-year-old, but she is 8 years old, and like many eight-year-olds, she has different fears in life, and one of her fears for a while now has been she's scared of the dark when she goes to sleep at night. She believes there are monsters under her bed in the closet, and I don't want to make fun of any of that, because I remember as a kid, I legitimately believed that there were monsters in the closet as well, and that was before Monsters, Inc., so I don't even know what these monsters looked like, but they were in my closet because I heard them. I can tell you that. And Piper hears them. So something happens when you're eight, monsters come out. And so she's believing this, and we don't want to cultivate a spirit of fear in her. And I don't want to make light, truthfully, of the fears that children have, because children have fears just like adults have fears. So she's got these fears when she goes to sleep at night, and we do everything we can to teach her, hey, God has not given you a spirit of fear. You can genuinely rest in peace, and that's what she's after. My mom, her grandmother, who she calls Grandma, is that right, Kelly? I'm, you know, they have all the names, you know, there's all different grandma names, and grandmothers get all creative, and I think it's just grandma. Is it grandma? Is it, right? I'm genuinely forgetting right now. I know my dad is Pops. All right, Psalm chapter 4, my mom taught this to my daughter, Psalm 4, verse 8, I will both lie down and sleep in peace, for you alone, Lord, make me live in safety. And so that's a psalm that we've prayed over our daughter Piper, that my mother introduced to her. And what we're teaching her is you are going to find peace in God alone, Piper. You don't have anything to fear. And truth be told, that's a word for all of us. Because maybe you're not going to sleep at night thinking there's monsters under the bed, although if I can be a little honest, there's times even now. It's like, is somebody in the house? I don't know. You hear the noises. Y'all know what I'm talking about, okay? Maybe you're not one of those people. Every now and then I was like, what's that noise? The last two nights, Kelly and I have heard this mysterious beep, beep, beep Three times it comes from the kitchen. We don't know what it is yet. We're going to solve that tonight, though, because last night the conversation was, that was at the exact same time as the night before. We don't know what it is. I texted Chris and Lacey. I was like, hey, if we don't wake up tomorrow, you don't hear from us, something bad has gone on in our house, okay? So we're all searching for peace. We all want to rest in peace. That's something we're all after. And why is that? Because the world, hello, is crazy. It's crazy. I mean, there's so much that is unpeaceful happening in the world right now. Right now we have drones, and apparently nobody knows where these drones are coming from. Anybody been reading up on that? Anyone? Yeah, we don't know what they are. And the government's like, you don't need to worry about it. It's like, are you kidding me right now? There's drones flying over homes, you know? We're striving after peace, and the world's crazy. And if we're not careful, as we search for peace, because everybody is, in fact, what we can definitively say is this, whether you are a believer or not, the one thing the entire world has in common is they want to be at peace. Everybody's striving after this, whether you believe in God or not. Everybody wants to be at peace. They want peace in their life. They want to be at peace within. We're all striving after. It's the one thing we all have in common. We want to be at peace. Every single beauty queen in the world, what are they striving after? What do they want? World peace. Yeah, so this is something we all know. It's not news to anyone, but we search for it in all different places. We search for it in our spouse and our family. We search for it in things and stuff and material possessions. Some of you search for it in the mountains or at the beach. Like, we're striving after this. Some of you are searching for it in alcohol, and you just can't wait to get home at night and have that one little altered feeling in you to relax you, and it's the only thing you have found that works. Here's the danger in our search for peace. Some of these things that we search for may land you at biblical peace, but a lot of them do not, because we know there's only one true giver of peace, and his name is Jesus. He's the only one. And so our big idea today is this. Peace is found in God and is maintained through close relationship with God. Peace is found in God and it's maintained through close relationship with God. And we could walk out of here just settling on that. That's the plan by the time we end. What's happened here in the text as we were in Ephesians chapter 2 is Paul is writing to the Gentile believers. He's writing to Gentiles. And at this point in time, this church at Ephesus, they are thriving. They're loving life. Things are great. And he's reminding them, hey, there was once a point in time during your pre-Christian state where things weren't so good. Life wasn't always great. All these privileges you enjoy, the peace you enjoy, the peace you have with one another, including the Jews, that didn't exist at one point in time. And I like how Paul, he just like drops the hammer down on them in verse 12. He says, some of you are like, is he gonna dissect verse 11? You can read over that, and the answer is we're not going to go there today. You can do that another day, okay? We're going to go verse 12. At that time, you were without Christ, excluded from the citizenship of Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of promise, without hope and without God in the world. Welcome to church, right? Like, that's not very uplifting. And that what he's pressing into them is life was not so good for you at one point in time. Let's just go through that. You were without Christ. Now, he's writing the Gentiles. Majority of the room today would fit that bill. You'd be a Gentile. And he's saying, at that time, you were without Christ. That's really a twofold thing he's saying there. Number one, you were an unbeliever. Like, you didn't believe in Jesus as your Savior. So you were without Christ in that regard. But then again, it's twofold because they weren't Jews. So he's like, you weren't even a part of the family. And then he explains that a little more. Excluded from the citizenship of Israel. You were not a part of Israel. You were not a part of these promises. See that? And foreigners to the covenants of promise. So all these covenants that were given to Israel, tracking all the way back to the foundational covenant with Abraham, he's reminding the Gentiles, it didn't start with you. It started with the Jews. You were cut out from all of that. And then he lands on, You were without hope, and you were without God. So he's wanting to remind them, it's always a good idea to remember where you once were before Christ. It's good to remember what God's done in your life. And that's what he's doing with the Gentiles, wanting to press into them. Hey, it didn't all used to be, you know, fruitcake and ice cream, right? I don't even like fruitcake, but sounds good, right? He's like, it wasn't even like that at one point in time. Things weren't so good for you. But then verse 13. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Number one, through Christ, you can have peace with God. Through Christ, you can have peace with God. That but now in Christ Jesus is a dramatic shift in the story. Notice verses really 11 and 12. It's just a downer after downer. Fivefold deal he presents to the Gentiles. Everything was going wrong for you. But now in Christ Jesus, dramatic shift in the story. Not just in the story that Paul is wording to them, but in your story and in my story, when we receive Christ, it's a shift that takes place. In Christ, the cross of Christ is the centrality of it all. Everything is centered around Jesus and the cross. This peace that God gives centered around Jesus and the cross. Historically, we know about Jesus that he quite literally died on the cross for us. Very public and brutal death. It happened. Theologically, we know that death was on our behalf for you and for me. It happened and it was for you and for me. And then what we're seeing in the text today, there's an experience that we have. And again, it centers around Jesus Christ. But it's worth pointing out the blood language that Paul uses. You who are far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. He doesn't shy away from the brutality of how we have peace today. Brutal, gruesome death. So, kind of wild, what brought you peace and what brought me peace was through a very unpeaceful moment in history. He goes on in verse 14, for he is our peace. Again, Christ is the source of peace. God is the giver of peace. The reason me and you today can have true and lasting peace is through the death of Jesus. He's the very source of it. Everything has to align vertically first before we deal with any horizontal peace or before we deal with peace within. What do we know from Isaiah 9:6? What is he described there who's referring to Jesus? He's the Prince of Peace. He's the very source of why we are able to have peace today. Through Christ, you can have peace with God. So everything centered around this reconciliation between us and God. Or through the death of Christ, he abolished the enmity, the hostility that we had with God, and made peace possible for you and for me today. Let's read on verses 14 and 15. For he is our peace, who made both groups one and tore down the dividing wall of hostility. In his flesh, he made of no effect the law, consisting of commands and expressed in regulations, so that he might create in himself one new man from the two, resulting in peace. Through Christ, you can have peace with others. Through Christ, you can have peace with others. So we've already established that Jesus is our peace. That's the reason peace is possible. But then Paul begins to look at the horizontal peace that once did not exist. And he's bringing up the hostility that existed between the Jews and the Gentiles. They did not get along. We've talked about this some in John already. If you've been around church, you've heard about the big hostility that existed, the enmity that existed between the Jews and Gentiles. And so he's bringing up, there was at one point in time, y'all clashed. There was a dividing wall that we will call the Mosaic Law, where they were divided sociologically and they were divided religiously. They didn't get along at all. And what Paul is telling the Gentiles and what God is telling us today, there was once all of this hostility, and through the death of Christ, this law was nullified. The big enmity that existed, this dividing wall that existed between the Jews and Gentiles, was broken. And we know that ultimately because Christ fulfilled the law. So all these rules and regulations that were put on people to be at peace with God are no more because it was fulfilled in the blood of Jesus Christ. Through Christ, you can have peace with others. And this is part of what we're all striving after today, to be at peace with one another. And that's ultimately what Christ made possible by tearing down this dividing wall of hostility. Again, in verse 15, he made of no effect the law consisting of commands and express and regulations. And here's the big part. So that he might create in himself one new man from the two, resulting in peace. And what Paul is saying there is there were once Jews and Gentiles, but after the death of Christ, there was one new man created, one new creation, one new humanity. We would really say one new entity, all in Christ. That's where I'll add in there, welcome to church, because that's who we are today. In Christ, we are that one new man. In Christ, we are that one new humanity. In Christ, we are the church today. This is one of the reasons we're real specific with wording at our church. We call it a church gathering, or we call this place a church building. And I make sure anytime I'm coming up in here into what is just a building, or this is just an auditorium, because we are the church. We are this new man under a very new covenant. So what does that mean for us today? What does that mean for the church? Very practically speaking, if through Christ we can have peace with others, for starters, that means with all the hostility taking place in the world, the church of all places should be one of the most diverse places in the world when the church is gathering, which is something that we are working on. Amen to that. The church should be the one leading the way in putting to death racism. The church should be the one who is leading the way and being the most forgiving people on the planet. Because we know that through Christ, we can quite literally have peace with others. What about in your family? Yeah, peace is possible within your family. And some of you, I mean, before you even got to church today, you're like, that's impossible. You haven't seen my kids. They're insane. They're crazy. Like, I know some kids are crazy. Mine are crazy, crazy. What Paul's telling us, what God's telling us today, peace is even possible within your home. That's the power of the death and resurrection of Jesus. He did this, verse 16, so that he might reconcile both to God in one body through the cross, by which he put the hostility to death. It was a twofold hostility that Jesus put to death. It was the hostility between Jews and Gentiles, and ultimately the hostility vertically between them and God. Peace is possible with Christ, we see in verses 17 and 18. He came and proclaimed the good news of peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So through Christ, we can have peace with God. Through Christ, we can have peace with others. Through Christ, we can have peace within. Which when we're talking about peace, that's what everybody's really after. They want peace within. Back to what we said at the beginning. We want to sleep in peace. We want to rest in peace. And Paul, in verses 17 and 18, he's drawing upon Isaiah 52 and Isaiah 57. We'll reread of this herald of good news that someone's coming to bring peace. And Paul is saying, in Christ, he's the one who's bringing peace to the world. In Christ, he's the one who's allowing peace to take place within your life. Peace is possible. But here's, we talked about the search at the beginning. If we're not careful, we become what I like to call peace manufacturers. Is there anybody who's a peace manufacturer in the house? That means you try to manufacture your own peace. Anybody? I'll explain it because you're like, what is he even talking about? I try to manufacture my own peace all the time. Sometimes I'll wake up in the morning and I want a little fireplace on my TV because I don't have one, and rain falling when it's not, and then I light a candle. You know, I'm trying to manufacture my own peace. It's like, now I can rest in peace. You know, we have to be real. That's not wrong. It's just trying to set the scene for my morning studies with God. But we all, at times, are trying to manufacture our own peace. And the importance of the text today, Jesus being the advent of peace, Jesus being the giver of peace, the one who brings peace, is that tells us that we can actually never be the ones who are able to manufacture our own peace. It's one of the many things that we are not able to manufacture. This is a gift that God is extending. You know, what do we know from Galatians 5:22? One of the fruit of the Spirit is peace. That is peace within. We know in Romans 14:17 that the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So this peace that we desire within, it only comes from God. And I hope you see, again, the vertical part of it. We want to have peace with others. We want to have peace in our home. We want to have peace with our spouse. We want to have peace within. But it has to start with the vertical peace. And I promise you, you need this peace before you're ever truly going to sleep in peace. It's the only lasting peace. So there's a few ways I think we can apply the text today. Number one, I want to encourage our church to live by the Holy Spirit. Live by the Spirit. We read in Romans 8:4-6 that once we become new creatures in Christ, there's this calling on our lives where Christians are walking in the Spirit, living by the Spirit. So we're going to live by the Spirit, surrender ourselves to the Spirit. That's one way you're going to find peace in life. It all has to be Spirit empowered, because again, we can't manufacture peace. Secondly, obey God's word. But notice it starts with empowered by the Spirit. Live by the Spirit before you're ever going to obey God's word. But we read in Psalm 119, not going to attempt to say the verse. It's still a lot of verses in Psalm 119. But we read of a psalmist who loves the decrees of God, who loves to obey the word of God, and it leads to peace. So we need to obey God's word. Thirdly, pray and meditate often. Pray and meditate often. You could add on the word of God. So we're going to live by the Spirit, it's a Spirit-empowered thing, which doesn't happen until you get the vertical relationship with God sorted out. We're going to obey God's word, and then we're going to pray and meditate often. And that's pulled straight from Philippians chapter 4:6-7, which starts out telling us not to worry about anything. Don't be anxious. But in everything, through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And then what? The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Peace is possible for you. I came here just to make sure you all knew today that this peace you're striving after, that Piper is learning at a young age, it's kind of hard to find at times, it's possible. Jesus makes that possible. I've been thinking a lot about this guy over the last couple of days, a guy by the name of Mike Camo. Mike Camo. Mike, on Friday, passed away of brain cancer. He was a member of the church that actually helped plant this church back in Georgia. Mike and Sabrina Camo actually gave to support Sunrise City Church at one point when we first started. Mike was a godly, godly man. And I actually was privileged. He was my sixth grade teacher when I was in middle school. 24 years ago, Mike Camo was my teacher. And at that point, Mike and Sabrina did not have kids. They were really wanting kids, anxiously wanting kids, begging God for kids. And they decided that God was leading them to pursue adoption. And as a sixth grader on this one particular day, this was before cell phones. I'm assuming there were cell phones out, but a lot of people didn't have them. I'm assuming Mike had been and Sabrina were waiting for the call from the adoption agency. I don't know the details behind this, but I remember on one particular day, over the intercom, Mike was told, hey, you got a call. You got a call coming in. And I don't remember what they said on the intercom. This is 24 years ago. But I do remember when they told him the name of the person calling, there was a demeanor shift in him. A joy on his face that to this day, I have never forgotten. And even as a sixth grader, I knew like this is a special moment. His eyes lit up, had this big smile on his face. And he told us, these kids in class, like we know anything about any of this. He's like, this has to do with our adoption. And he left the class, took the call. I don't remember anything else that transpired that day. But on that day, I do know this, he learned they have a 24-year-old daughter named Madison. And in that moment, Mike learned, man, we're gonna be parents. And I'm gonna get to adopt this beautiful girl. I bring that story up today because it's such to me a picture of what our Heavenly Father is like, as he has extended peace, extended grace to every single person on the planet. And he's waiting, anticipating the day he adopts you into his family. And if you're like, I'm not worthy of it, I'm here to tell you, God created you in his image, in his likeness, and he loves you, and he would be overjoyed and will be overjoyed the moment that he can call you son or he can call you daughter and extend peace to you. And that's what he wants to do today. That's our big thing. Peace only possible with God. Peace only maintained through close relationship with God. But I would imagine there's some in the room today, that vertical peace between you and God is non-existent. Christ has made it possible for it to exist today through faith in him. Let's pray. God, we are thankful for Jesus, who makes peace possible. We are all striving after it. Saved, unsaved, we all want it. We live in this anxiety-stricken world where at times peace seems impossible. We are so grateful that your word tells us otherwise, that peace is possible. And so, God, we're praying today. I'm praying this morning that people would receive that peace today that you are extending through Christ. I pray for the ones right now that you're watching and you're waiting for that moment of joy where they go from death to life and you adopt them in and you call them son or daughter. You're ready to say to them, welcome home. Here's peace. Of course, I pray for the believers in the house. They're struggling with peace. They're struggling with peace this morning. God, would you be with them? Would you help them get back to living by the Spirit, obeying your word, and all throughout today, help them to cultivate a rhythm of prayer and meditation on the things of God. We love you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Hey, you can go ahead and stand up. We have one last song of worship. If you want to respond to the message, want someone to talk to today, I'm here to talk. We have some people on our prayer team on the right and left who would love to talk with you more about what it means to follow Jesus. Maybe you just need prayer this morning. We would love to pray with you. Maybe you just want to come down here at the front of the stage and pray. Do it. Do it. But hey, peace is found in God, and it's maintained through close relationship with God. And I promise you, God wants you at peace today, and it's going to ultimately come through Him. Let's continue on in our worship.